Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Here we are on the 6th of January, right, Ted? Is that right? We are.
Yeah, you know, oh, we do have a new calendar. Yes. Good. I was going to say yesterday the old one was still up, so that's good. Good job.
We're with it here. You know, we are ready for the new year, even if it's 6 days into it. But and it's cold across the Upper Midwest.
Yeah, but 10 below in Chicago I saw today, and a few below here in the Twin Cities. Up north, it's cold. Cold everywhere.
Sure, it's why we live here, right? Because we're hardy, foolhardy maybe is what it might be. Really excited to have a friend back on the program today. I mean, not that Ted isn't my friend, but I mean that's it. But I'm Neil Stavem, by the way. That's Ted Ross. Carissa's on the phones and looking forward to talking with you today as well. The friend we're talking about is Pastor Jim Nicodem, who's been senior pastor of Christ Community Church since 1984 when they started it with just a group of six families. It's grown to thousands of people on four campuses. It's in St. Charles, Illinois. And Jim was born and raised in the Midwest, is schooling at Wheaton and Trinity, and is really passionate about making disciples, and he loves to mentor others in prayer, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, because early on the new year, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily make a lot of resolutions, but you sort of sit down and do some goals. Don't you, Ted? You usually do that where you just kind of say, all right, well, here's some areas that I need to work on, or let's reemphasize. And for me, that growing deeper in the faith, revolves a lot, oftentimes around prayer.
Constant goal. In the scripture tells us, pray without ceasing, and who can't do more praying?
Yeah,
you know? Right. So every year, that's a good reminder.
So that's what we're going to talk about today, because Jim is our prayer coach. In fact, he's written a wonderful book, came out a few years ago, called Prayer Coach, and the subtitle is for all those who want to get off the bench and onto the praying field. And it was actually, was it Bobby Bowden, Jim, that did the intro to that or wrote the foreword?
It was. Famous college football coach, one of the winningest coaches of all times, a great Christian gentleman and a prayer.
Yeah. So are you a football guy? I mean, should we take a little time to talk about the football championship and the
we're not talking a lot of football, at least at an NFL level here in Chicago.
Yeah, let me just say, as a Vikings fan, thank you for your contribution to us not being in last place in the NFC North. But anyway,
My goodness, yes. The only thing I'm grateful for, Neil, it meant more people showing up for church than would have skipped out the Lucky Bears game. So.
Right. That sounds good. Well, let's talk a little bit about you've not only written a Prayer Coach, but you did a series of books here came out a couple of years ago, a 4-book series called Bible Savvy, and we've talked about that, and that was a great little resource, and we'll touch on that a bit today as well. But it was prayer something that just as a pastor you felt you needed to maybe address? It was sort of part of the responsibility, or has it been a personal passion for you?
You know, both. In the early days of Christ Community, as we launched the church, when you're starting a church from scratch, you just feel desperate. And so you learn to pray early on, real quick. And that's what we did. We made prayer central to our ministry. And then, you know, I noticed that guys especially seem to have a greater trouble with it. I don't know if it's just that ladies have an easier time relationally talking to God than guys do. So I started focusing on it in once a month men's breakfast on a Saturday morning. And every time we gathered, there'd be hundreds of guys there. And I'd always teach on the same thing. I'd always teach on some aspect of prayer. And after about 3, 4, 5 years of doing this, I noticed that I never had a really good book to give guys who said, okay, you convinced me, I want to have a better prayer life, what should I read? It seemed like a lot of the stuff that had been written about prayer has been written by folks who are a little bit on the mystical side, into spiritual disciplines, pray at great lengths, and just normal guys who just want to get off the bench and out of the praying field, as the subtitle to my book says. There wasn't practical stuff out there, so I eventually sat down and wrote Prayer Coach based on a lot of the stuff I've been teaching the men at the men's breakfasts.
You know, there is, I think, you know, before we get into some of those practical things, which you have many of them, and I've just been grateful to have gone through the book a couple of times, and, you know, if I can apply half of what I've read, that'll be good. But maybe we talk about the beginning. What is prayer really, and maybe why should we do it? Let's start there.
You know, I think the biggest, best reason to pray is for the sake of the relationship. You know, prayer is talking to God. And, you know, I look at John 15, where Jesus talks about the importance of abiding in the vine, that if we'll remain in him as the branch, then our vine is going to be fruitful. And then later on, he says, and, you know, you'll be able to pray about anything, knowing that I'm going to respond, I'm going to answer. So prayer and God's answering prayer is in the context of something bigger, and that's the relationship. So, you know, when I go to prayer every day, It's not always to break through and get some big thing from God. It's to meet with God. And even as I systematically pray for family and friends and lost people and so on, all of that still draws me closer to the heart of God. So I think the best reason to make prayer a priority in your life, 2015, make it a resolution, you're going to pray more, is it's going to deepen your relationship with God.
Well, in order to do something more, we probably have to do something less. Let's talk a little bit about, because you address it right on the outset, and we want to address it here as well, some of the obstacles and the things that maybe the objections, the excuses. I mean, you've met with men for many months. I mean, I'm sure you've heard quite a few of them. What are the things that we most often say hold us back?
You know, the biggest thing, Neil, I think, is we just don't have a plan. And so it ends up, it's like any resolution. I heard a radio talk show host say the other day, because everybody's talking about resolutions this time of year, she said studies show that 92% of the resolutions we make never see the light of day. We never carry through. But the 8% of us who follow through on resolutions, we have one thing in common, and that one thing is we've got a plan. So what, you know, what's your plan? If you don't have a plan, you know, what's the old saying? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that's especially true of prayer. Every time I ask a group of people that I'm teaching on the topic of prayer, so how many of you are satisfied with your prayer lives? Nobody's hand goes up. We all wish that we prayed more than we do, but if we don't have a plan, that's not going to change.
So let's just jump into that. What's the if we're actually wanting to make a plan, what things do we need to include? What things, you know, are going to get us derailed if the plan's too complicated, perhaps?
Well, I think one of the things that is helpful is to set aside a time. What are you going to do it? Is this going to be coupled with your daily reading of God's Word? Does that happen for you first thing in the morning? Or is this going to be in your truck on the way to the plant for the day? Is it going to be something you do over the dinner table with other members of your family? You know, what is the time that you're going to set aside? And then, you know, whatever it is you're praying for, I keep lists. I'm a big list person. So one of the things that keeps me praying systematically for people I love is just to have them on my list. I got an A to Z list of people that I pray for on a regular basis. There are probably about 100 names or so on the list. I used to, you know, when I first came up with this list, I thought, well, I'll divide the list into 7 parts. 7 days in a week leaves me praying for about 15 to 20 people every day. And that didn't work at all. It's just, you know, produced guilt because you skip a day or two and you fall behind. You feel like, oh, all those people I said I'd pray for and now. So what I do is I take a little post-it note and I just move it down my list. If I got time to pray for 3 people on the list, I pray for 3. If I skip a day, I don't beat myself up. I just go back and pick it up next time I'm praying. But a lot of my praying gets done while I'm out walking in the woods, or when I'm exercising on the elliptical machine, or when I'm driving in my car. But to have a list of the people that I want to pray for, that's a huge thing. Another whole area that I cover in my book in depth is praise. How do we interject more praise into our lives? Because that is the spice of prayer. When praise is lacking in our prayer lives, we begin to think over time, well, God's probably sick and tired of hearing my voice. Every time I come to him, I need something else. And the truth of the matter is, we got to stop doing that. Only coming when we have requests, we need to bring him praise and thanksgiving. And so in the book, I explain how to do that. I've got an appendix in the book of 250 names and titles and attributes by which God goes in Scripture. Each of them tells us something about who God is. So if you want to pray praise prayers, I want to equip you to do that in Prayer Coach.
Just to expand on that a little bit more here before we take a break. So what, you know, 250 names of God, attributes, what does that look like? What would be a way which we could incorporate that more as a regular part of our prayer experience?
Well, have you ever played the word association game where somebody says a word
yeah,
and you,
yeah.
know, you say the first thing that comes to your mind? You know, to some extent, it's like that with the attributes. So as I'm going through that list, again, I just move a little post-it note through the list, depending on where I'm at in the alphabet, you know, if I'm in the L's or I'm in the R's or whatever. If I'm in the R's, I might be, noting that God is Rabbi. He's a ransom for sin. He's a reaper. He's the reason for the hope that we have. I'll take three or four of those. And again, on the elliptical machine or on a walk or whatever, I'll pray them back to God. So, you know, I'll start with the first one, Rabbi, and you know, that I just mentioned. And I'll say, God, you are a great rabbi, a great teacher. And the things that you teach me are exactly what I need for my life. And so you're all wise, but you're also tuned into the life of your students. So you know how to apply what it is you want to teach me to my situation each day. I praise you for that intimate concern as my rabbi. And so, you know, I'll pray like that for a minute or so on rabbi, and then I'll move on to ransom, and then I'll, you know, some of the other R words I just mentioned to you, and I'll pray them back to God. I have found, we're regularly passing this list out, and I have found that this has been one of the biggest takeaways from my book, Prayer Coach. People tell me, I never knew what to say to God, or when it came to praise, I would say something generic like, I just praise you for who you are. And I've always thought that's pretty lame. You know, I know my wife wouldn't let me get away with that. If I say, I just love you for who you are, she'd look at me and say, well, like what? You know, like I want specifics. So when I pray praise prayers, I try to be specific with God. Tell him why it is I think he is just a great and awesome God.
Which just even as you're describing it, thinking has got to be, you know, kind of revolutionizing your prayer experience, because suddenly you're moving into areas and territory that you probably wouldn't have. I mean, you wouldn't have normally sort of gone there necessarily, and suddenly start thinking about various aspects of who God is. That's
absolutely
valuable.
Yeah. Because let's face it, that is the weakest area of our prayer lives. Most of us, we get around to asking. The ask part we got down. We might even periodically thank God, but thanksgiving typically has to do with some blessing he's brought into our lives. So it's still us-focused. And then we'll occasionally confess sin, you know, because we realize it's built a wall between us and God. So we'll get real about it. But praising God for the specific attributes he possesses, how often do we do that? We sing it. We sing it in our worship songs, but we don't often pray it. So teaching people to do that has been revolutionary.
We're talking with the prayer coach today, Pastor Jim Nicodem. He's senior pastor at Christ Community Church in St. Charles, Illinois. He's written a wonderful book called Prayer Coach for all who want to get off the bench and onto the praying field. And we'd love to have you join the conversation, too. Maybe you have a question about how you can strengthen and develop, grow your prayer life. Maybe some things that have been working for you. We'd love to have the conversation with you today at 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient to drop us a note online, if you have an email question, you can do that by going to myfaithradio.com and then clicking on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. Talk more with Pastor James Nicodem in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. Talking prayer today, early on this new year. It's an area where we want to grow in our faith and our relationship with the Lord. And we're getting some great practical advice from Pastor Jim Nicodem from Christ Community Church, St. Charles, Illinois. The book is called Prayer Coach. It's available through their church website, ccclife.org. We'll talk a little bit about some of the patterns, some of the routines that will help you as being more sensitive to the promptings. There's also a focus in the book on passion. And Jim, talk about why and maybe how we can be more passionate in our prayers. And, you know, maybe sometimes we're feeling reserved and just don't know what that would look like.
Yeah, you know, Neil, I picked this up from somebody else who'd written a book on passion and prayer. It just made a lot of sense to me. It prompted me to do my own research, and I thought, you know, as I studied it, I thought, this guy's right on target. Because as I read through the Psalms and I look for synonyms for pray, the words or expressions you come across are things like call out or cry out or plead. And they're really words that are full of passion. And I thought, you know, maybe the reason God doesn't answer our prayer sometime is because he's just not sure if we're serious about what we're praying about. We do it so lackadaisically. And so I have come to the realization that passion needs to be a significant part of my praying. Now, how do you become passionate if you're not passionate? I used to have a poster on the wall of my college dorm. Remember Arthur Ashe, the tennis pro from all the way back in the 70s? He was parallel to the ground reaching for a ball with his tennis racket, and the caption on the poster read, "If you act enthusiastic, you'll be enthusiastic." And sometimes it's just a matter of starting to act like we want to be, and the being follows the right action. And so as a prayer, I might not feel the passion, but if I start acting like a passionate prayer, the passion may pick up. So what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, start with your posture. If you're sitting, and I hate this, especially in a small group, if you're sitting in a circle and people are sitting there with a coffee cup and their legs crossed and leaning back and they're trying to have a time of prayer, I want to smack people and say, come on, we're coming into the presence of a great king. So what's an appropriate posture? Maybe we ought to be on our knees. Maybe we ought to be walking. Walking helps me pray with passion. If I'm moving, my arms are pumping and my legs are moving, and I'm, you know, walking through the woods, I pray with passion. When I'm praying with another person, my passion picks up. When I deliberately add intensity to my voice, just like when I'm talking to you right now, I could tell the intensity is picking up because I'm excited about what I'm talking to you about, Neil. The same thing's true of our prayer life. If we sound like a Marvin Milquetoast when we're praying, you know, it's hard to believe that God's going to take our prayer seriously. Say, we don't even take it seriously enough to add some oomph to it.
I love that great encouragement, insight. You touched on a little bit earlier about, you know, praying for friends and loved ones that don't know the Lord, praying family. Let's talk a little bit about, because you do talk about, you know, how we can pray for our children and with our children. Just say a word about that, and then maybe other ways that we pray for those that don't know the Lord, and some good insight there.
Yeah, you know, I use John 17, Jesus model prayer, as an outline for how to pray with and for our kids. And, you know, again, think training. The reason my book is called Prayer Coach is because that's my goal. I want to come alongside of someone who aspires to become a prayer, and I want to coach you into becoming that prayer, and then I want you to become a coach. Within your family, think of yourself as a prayer coach to your kids. So as our kids were growing up, you know, early on when we went to family prayer, I remember back, I grew up in a Christian home, where family prayer was so monotonous and routine, and all of us always said the same things, because nobody was, you know, my parents, God bless them, wanted us to pray and modeled praying, but didn't know how to coach us. So I wanted to be a better coach to my kids. So we would do simple stuff like we would talk about extended family or our church or whatever, and I'd ask them, you know, what kinds of things do you think we ought to be praying about? Oh, well, Dad, our church is doing that big outreach. Good, that big outreach. What do you think we ought to pray about that big outreach? Well, that, you know, people bring their friends who don't know Jesus. Good. You know, Emily, why don't you pray for that? Friends that don't know Jesus, that they get brought. Okay, what else should we pray? Well, for the speaker for that outreach. Good, Rachel, why don't you pray for that guy? What do you think we ought to pray for him? So you could tell, by the way, I'm explaining this here. You know, my job is to coach them so when we go to prayer, they know what they're going to pray about. They have some ideas. They feel like they succeed at it. It doesn't sound monotonous. So I think for a mom, for a dad to be a coach in the life of their child, not just praying, but teaching them how to pray, really significant.
You use things like the Lord's Prayer at times. Is that a good, I mean, it's a model prayer, but do the written prayers help you from time to time?
Not as much, Neil. We will use the Lord's Prayer on occasion in church. We will use written out prayers on occasion because sometimes things are just better said if we've given them some thought in advance. So not at all against that. But I would use the Lord's Prayer more as an outline. I'd want to teach it as what are some of the things covered in the Lord's Prayer that we ought to make sure are part of our prayer.
Yeah.
Going back to something you said, too, because I don't want to let this slip. I've got a chapter in Prayer Coach on how to pray for lost friends,
right,
and how to pray for our personal evangelism. And I borrowed this from an evangelist named Ron Hutchcraft, but I've thrown a lot of energy and effort into defining it further. It's the three open prayer: praying for an open door, praying for an open mouth on my part, that when the open door comes, I would be bold and speak up. And then thirdly, praying for an open heart on the part of the person who is listening to me, that they would be genuinely interested in spiritual things as the conversation moves in that direction. And that three open prayer, oh my goodness, I keep coming back to that again and again. And it primes me for evangelism more than anything else. Getting in the game first as a prayer, and then I'm much more bold in sharing my faith.
And that there's just great practical advice in there all the way through the book, Prayer Coach. Jim, we haven't talked about, the verse that says pray without ceasing. I mean, we talked about, having a plan, a time and a place and all of that. But so how do we incorporate that sort of prayer without ceasing throughout our day?
I love the story that's told about Billy Graham in that regard, Neil. The reporter was interviewing him and said, I'm told, Dr. Graham, that you're always praying. Is that true? And Dr. Graham said, yeah, I'm praying right now, praying for you. And so there is a sense in which a believer is constantly conscious of the presence of God and whispering prayers, and it's an ongoing conversation. But I also believe that you don't get to the place where that's happening with regularity unless you're also taking time in a closet to pray, unless you're carving out time. I think the extemporaneous praying throughout the course of the day is more likely to happen if we're also carving out time and we're being really diligent, taking 15, 20, 30 minutes to pray in our closet.
Was there someone for you that was maybe a prayer warrior and really became a mentor in this area? Or, I mean, have you seen that happen maybe within your church, that those that really seem to have the passion for it can really teach others and model it?
That's a great question. I would probably have to say, unfortunately, I can't think of Christian leaders per se who have been that role model for me, but my mom and my dad have as prayers. They're, to this day, my dad is 90 years old. My mom is 87 years old. If I had something for which I needed prayer, they would be the first people I'd go to. They're just regular prayers. They are earnest prayers. To this day, they helped to launch our church back when we had six couples. They were one of those six couples, and they started coming before every Sunday service to pray with the worship team and others who were going to be on the platform, and they have never stopped doing that. To this day, they show up before church starts, and they pray with the worship team and with the usher greeters and others who have gathered to pray for the service. So I'd say my parents have been the best role model in that regard.
Well, you've been an encouragement to us today, and I love even just the takeaway about even making your list, but not getting bothered if you end up skipping a day. You just move the post-it note down, and
absolutely
how freeing that is.
Spiritual disciplines are I'm a big fan of spiritual disciplines, but no matter what the spiritual discipline is, I try to have some kind of a safety valve so it doesn't become legalistic and so it doesn't leave me feeling guilty if I skipped it. So I think discipline, if you don't have a prayer discipline, a plan, I'd encourage you to put it together. But when you skip, you don't beat yourself up. You just go back the next day and you pick up where you left off.
Jim Nicodem offering us some good coaching today. He's our prayer coach. He's written the book Prayer Coach for all who want to get off the bench and onto the praying field. You can get a copy of it through their website, ccclife.org. It's Christ Community Church, St. Charles, Illinois. Jim, blessings to you. We just always appreciate the opportunity to get together. We didn't have time to talk about Bible Savvy. We'll come back and do that again soon.
We'll do it another time. Thanks, Neil. Right. Have a great day.
All right, thanks. Happy New Year to Jim Nicodem and blessings to his ministry. By the way, we do have a prayer opportunity here on Faith Radio. You can sign up today at myfaithradio.com. Check that out. You can be part of our prayer team. We'd love to know that you're standing with us for our region in the Upper Midwest. And if you missed part of today's show, want to hear it again, go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Click on the show page for more.